Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast. This is the space and the place for leadership learning. I'm Joanne Smichael. I'm a speaker, an educator, a consultant, and a forever student of the world. Enjoy this episode. Before I start talking about trust that's been broken, specifically on teams, I need to share my biases, and I have a few of them. My first bias is that when the organizational culture is dysfunctional, suspicious, paranoid, whatever, it's nearly impossible to have a lot of trust. Yep, there can be healthy pockets, but that is rare. My next bias, it's hard for people to trust leaders who don't delegate. That's a sign that the leader doesn't trust other people enough to allow them to do the work. It shows that the leader really doesn't believe that other people are capable. And I think it puts a damper on creativity, engagement, and commitment that could be possible. I also think that when leaders don't delegate, that's a sign of ego, that you think you are so smart that you can do it all yourself, or you think that the only way to get it done right is for you to do it. So, another bias. Ready for my next bias? You can't have trust without psychological safety. How can people trust the leader or the organization when they're not comfortable sharing their ideas, sharing opinions, testing new approaches? You know, when people are fearful about admitting mistakes or just living in a state of fear in general, it is very hard to build trust. When people don't experience belonging and inclusion, it's hard to build trust. And all of that makes it hard to spark any innovation or creativity. So we already know that teams with trust in each other and in their leaders are more engaged, more productive, more creative. We know that they have real, genuine collaboration, better decision quality, and typically sustainable high performance, even in crises. And that's because of relational trust. So what happens when all of that falls apart? When there are fractures based on conflict, unmet expectations, misunderstandings, miscommunication, those things can kill collaboration and really create contentious, messy, uncomfortable environments. But it's not just about fixing what went wrong. To me, it's really about rebuilding relationships, course correcting, examining systems, restoring morale, and recreating a shared identity of the team. I know that sounded really lofty and, oh my goodness, how idealistic. However, it can happen. It can happen. I've seen it happen. I've participated in it happening. So here's how it starts. It starts by diagnosing the issues and the root causes, not just kind of what shows up on the surface, but figuring out what are the real issues. Not finger pointing. Really, what I'm talking about is thoughtful examination of what broke down. When things have been broken down for a long time and dysfunctions have been allowed to persist, this can be real hard because you have to unravel a lot of history, but it still has to be done. When you're doing this diagnosis, you may find it's better to have someone from outside the team. They're most likely to be objective, and they can see nuances that people who are entrenched in the situation just can't see. But whomever is doing the diagnosis and the intervention should have a deliberate process and a structured approach. Of course, the person needs to be empathetic. Here's what's going to happen. The diagnosis is going to help you discover how it broke and why. That means conducting root cause analysis, maybe some focus groups, maybe some one-on-one interviews. This gives us the opportunity to surface individual experiences, individual motivations, to really get to the heart of what is going on at the human level. It's going to reveal some of the interpersonal and interdepartmental, inter-team dynamics. It's going to show the good ones, and it's going to show the ones that need work. You know, the questions, these early questions should identify misalignments between people, processes, roles, responsibilities, norms, practices, just misalignments wherever they exist, because misalignments can fuel mistrust. So you did the diagnosis. It's complete. now it's time to start the repair process. Remember, this is about issues of trust. We have to be realistic. Suspicion is still going to remain, even as we start this process. And we have to remember, it's really hard to create trust. It's relatively easy to break it, and it's really hard, really tough to repair it. Do not expect miracles, and do not expect overnight success. The good thing about spending this time on the diagnosis is that you've got concrete data to work with. You're not working with suppositions or assumptions. It also means that listening with care, concern, and empathy are going to happen. I think of this as a time where everyone starts to disarm. In order for conversation to happen, because after the diagnosis, we got to have some conversation. But in order for the conversation to happen, people have to feel safe. I use group norms to create a safe space. The norms are also something that I use to raise levels of behavioral accountability. I think that norms reduce the likelihood of persistent fear. Now, it gets harder. It gets harder. When people have to unpack the deeper issues and use their own voices to express themselves, this is hard. It's really hard when triangular communication has been happening or when the distrust is so deep and lots of bridges have been burned. But hard as it is, open dialogue still has to occur. Openness is critical in rebuilding trust. You know, one of the things that may come about through the open dialogue is greater understanding. People can realize intent and effect. People can return to seeing each other as colleagues and not as adversaries or sworn enemies. The other thing that may emerge from this open dialogue is heartfelt apologies. Who knows what's going to come up until you make the effort to create the dialogue? The last thing that the dialogue should create is a willingness, an openness, a desire to repair relationships and recreate the team in ways that are healthier and more beneficial. So all of this is a great foundation. And it has to lead to something. It can't just be a series of kumbaya moments. It has to lead to action and accountability. And what this means is behaviors have to change. That means that maybe some services, some systems, some practices, some processes, they may need to change too. Because you can't hold on and move on. Transformations can only occur when there's a shared commitment to rebuilding trust and creating progress to moving forward. So when we start thinking about action, I believe it helps to be very specific. You got to think about whether there's a need for new communication channels. Is there a need for a different approach to information sharing? Is there a need for a new workflow process? Is there a need for reassignments of roles and responsibilities? You will be able to create and co-create what is needed through the process of action planning. I'm a big, big, big believer in accountability through regular check-ins and through quality control. I believe that 99.9% of us want to do great work in a healthy environment. We may just need better guidance and more clear parameters. The last piece I want to talk about of the puzzle in rebuilding trust is reinforcement of the intentionally created team. So what does that mean? It means celebrating successes, celebrating each other. It means holding yourself, holding your colleagues accountable to the norms that have been created. Leaders can reinforce positive behavior when they catch people doing positive things and affirm them. It's important to acknowledge the wins, the big wins, the little wins, all of the wins. I know that I've been talking about repairing trust on teams, but that doesn't mean we don't acknowledge the individuals who are role models for the kinds of values that promote collaboration, that promote open communication, integrity, and ultimately trust. Highlight the people who are living the values. Not only will leaders have to monitor and make a few course corrections, so will team members. And we've got to guide them and help them in that. And that goes back all the way back again to personal accountability. And it reminds me that even the best plans need to be revisited and revised. Same in relationships and in rebuilding trust. Sometimes we have to circle back. Often we have to circle back. I know I've talked about a lot of strategies and kind of woven them all together. I hope that you'll use some of them to create a trusting culture, even after fractures in relationships. I know none of this is easy, but don't overcomplicate it. Do the diagnosis, have the dialogue, create the action plans, act, celebrate, recalibrate, and keep moving forward. Thank you for listening. Be sure that you subscribe and share. You can get more leadership learning from my YouTube channel and by following me on Instagram. Reach out when you're looking for a speaker to energize your next event. Reach out when you need curated leadership learning for your organization. Reach out when you're ready for consulting that will help your organization fulfill its potential. I'm Joanne Smichel, and thank you for tuning in.